Hollywood Live Extra with Tanya Hart.
Well, my guest today is an international icon. She, of course, is an American treasure. She has been a champion for social justice for so long. And now she is back with something very special for all of us. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only, the inimitable Dionne Warwick. How are you?
I'm wonderful, honey. How are you?
Well, first of all, I'm so much better now that I'm seeing you in person. I miss you.
I miss you too. It's been so long.
I know. I think it's been at least almost 2 years, and everybody should know we've been friends for a long time, and we try to get together. Dionne used to live here, and now you live back on the East Coast, and we don't see each other as much. So
yeah, I sure do.
I know, but you know what? You are always, first of all, for anybody who does not know, and there, you know, we got a whole new generation here.
Yeah.
You have been a champion for the HIV/AIDS, what had been a pandemic way back in the day, but thanks to people like you and a few other folks, you know, that's no longer even, it's now a chronic illness.
Yes.
You guys really worked hard. We all did. I mean, you did campaigns for us here in New York. And we did so much to wipe out that scourge of AIDS. And now here we are in another pandemic.
Yeah.
And once again, you are creating something to really help people out and to just commemorate the people we've lost. Tell us about it, Dionne.
Yes, this, we're commemorating, unfortunately, the losses that we have had over the past, what, 7-8 months?
Mm-hmm.
We've lost 200,000 people to this thing called COVID-19. And it's a virus that they figured out was airborne, which is the reason now that everybody must pay close attention to the fact that masks play a very, very important part in our lives today. It keeps, as you know, well, Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, I call him Tony because he's a friend.
Yeah.
And he, you know, like he said, you know, when we speak, you'd be surprised at how much comes out of our mouth and towards us. So that social distancing makes all the sense in the world. Covering your mouth and nose makes all the sense in the world. Washing your hands, because you touch everything in the world. Every time you walk out of the door, you're touching your doorknob. You're touching your car. You're touching things. You know, so washing your hands makes sense. We all have something called common sense. We better start using it, okay? Is that point?
Well, I was going to say, everybody doesn't seem to have common sense these days, but we won't even go there.
Well, they don't have common sense. They have common sense, they just don't use it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but it's now time to start using. You know, we're doing a first only commemoration to commemorate those and to celebrate those who have lost their lives to COVID-19. It's time we felt that our country has now got to come together and unify and pay homage to those who have suffered and have lost, and those who are suffering because of the loss. Mm-hmm. You know, that we're going to have 20 seats, which will be sort of I'm trying to find the words.
To
pay homage to those 200,000 people. It'll be one for every 10 people lost. Mm-hmm. And 20 seats gives you 200,000.
And this is going to be held where?
In Washington, D.C., on the Ellipse, which is the back end of the White House. So you'll see the White House, you'll see the 20 seats. There'll be speakers from every area. There'll be those who have lost people to the disease. There'll be doctors, there'll be laymen. And we also want to pay homage to our frontliners, you know, those people who have made it possible, you know, for us to feel a little more at ease, the doctors, the nurses, the mailman, the grocery store, taxi driver, all those people. We've got to say thank you. You know, it's time for us now to stop being selfish and become selfless.
Yeah, I agree. You know what really boggles my mind? Like you said, 200,000 people are dead. Yes. They're dead. They're not coming back. This is somebody's mama, somebody's sister, brother, daughter. And there's just kind of a, people have not seemingly paid attention to that number. That's more people than died in any of our wars we've had. And this is only, and we're only 8 months into this.
Right. Okay. You know, well, not only are the 200,000 who passed away, we have 7 million who are infected. You know, it's like, it's a nonstop train and it's running out of control. And there's only one way to stop it. We got to put a barrier up.
Yeah.
Stop this thing in its track. We really have to. We have to pay attention to what's being told to us to make us feel at least, okay, if I do this, maybe I'll be a little safer. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, wear that mask. Mm-hmm. Put on some gloves. Wash your hands. You know, stay 6 feet away from each other if that's what it takes.
Right. Stay
You'll
home
get a
if
chance
that's
to
what
hug again. You will get a chance to hug again soon, but you got to get to that point.
You know, unfortunately, part of the reason we've got so many deaths that you are now trying to help these families and represent the people that have died is because of him. I mean, let's just call it, you know, a spade a spade, and that's what happened here. He just said, this is, doesn't matter, don't wear a mask. I mean, he's gone all over the place. But we know that this man has mental health issues. That's what I'm just going to say, because he does. But all of that being said, the people who have followed him into the swamp and into this pit now are going to have their own kind of reckoning, I believe, because of what has happened to him. Like you said earlier, God don't like ugly. So, what, you know, what do you think will happen now as a result of him contracting this virus to all of those people who thought, well, no, I'm not going to wear a mask because...
I think more than ever, his Senate is going to kind of straighten up their backs a bit. Like, oh dear, what is going on here? You know, and Mitch McConnell, who has been walking side by side with this man, holding hands practically with him, you know. He better take a good look at himself. I do believe, though, that this is frightening, and it's frightening everybody within that whole circle of people.
Right.
What's going on here? Why him? You know, wait a minute. Who's going to be, and how are we going to, and what are we doing? You know, all those questions I know are going through everybody's heads right now.
Right. And they're very real.
Oh, definitely.
You know, Dion, you have been on the correct side of history for so long, and but let's look back to the days when people were really afraid to touch people because they thought they might have HIV/AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, people were, they would ostracize people, really. Yeah. It was almost like being a leper when it first started. You and Elizabeth Taylor and a few other, you know, like Elton John, people just stepped up to the plate and said, no, 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 no. Now, you and I have been around long enough to realize when people, I know a lot of my friends died from AIDS.
Yes.
You know, we lost a lot of people.
I've helped the ones that passed. I've helped them.
Wow. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So, looking at that, and then, you know, and again, you've also been, for people who don't know, you are a U.S. Ambassador for Health as well.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So I'm not sure under which administration that was, but
Reagan appointed me, and I served throughout his time, and I stayed through Clinton, and that's when I said, you know what, I can't do this all by myself. I just can't, you know.
Yeah. but you were there. And so you have met with world leaders.
Yeah.
Dealing with a pandemic.
Yes.
What do you feel is the difference between the days when you were working in the Reagan administration and then the Clinton administration? How was that different from and dealing with a disease like that and today? What would you say is the biggest difference?
You know, there is no difference. There isn't. There is no difference whatsoever. This disease is as devastating as AIDS was from Jump Street. You know, it's just a matter of educating people, getting them to understand what this is. You can't fight something you don't know anything about. And that has always been my forefront. And in fact, I was called blasphemous for saying education is the key. Mm-hmm. You know, but that is the key. So I think we've got to all now understand what we're up against. And it's trying to be explained by those who we depend upon to be able to do that, and that's our doctors and our scientists. Those are the only people that we can depend on to give us correct information. And we've got to start listening to them. You know, we can't just go poo-poo. No. They're giving you information as they get it.
Well, and I love the fact that you call Dr. Fauci Tony, because y'all are good buddies. Somebody asked me about going somewhere, and I said, you know what? I can't get on a plane right now because Dr. Fauci says he's not flying, so I'm following Dr. Fauci.
That's right. You know, it's like that. I keep getting asked, well, when are you going to go back to concert? No, I said, well, it's when Broadway decides to go back into those houses that mm-hmm. they perform in. That's when Deanna considered going back into concert halls.
Right.
Until that time, babe, I'm going to be sitting right here in my house. I got to know my house pretty well these past 7 months.
Because you're never really there.
That's right.
I got to ask you, how's the rest of the family, your sons and their families, everybody's, because they're here, aren't they?
No. David is still he's in Vegas. He has an apartment there.
Right.
You know, that's the way I was for months of doing a residency at Caesars. Mm-hmm. And Damon, my baby, decided, well, I'm going someplace I know ain't nothing happening. And that's, he's in Montana.
All places. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
They're both fine. My grandbabies are doing fine. Both of them are fine. My sister just had a birthday a couple of days ago. She's doing great. So everybody's good.
Yeah.
I am so blessed.
Oh, we are. We really are. But then again, we've been paying attention and we've been doing the right thing.
Yes.
So yeah. It does pay off in the end. I know that, you know, you aren't going to be doing concerts, but it's very interesting because I look at you and I look at, you know, Patty and all the girls and everybody is still so energetic and performing at the height of their career ever, you know. I mean, when they did the challenge with Patty and Gladys. Oh my God. And you tuned in a little bit on that.
Yeah, I did. You know, I was just surprised.
So what is it about that generation, this generation of, I mean, y'all don't stop, you keep getting better. What has been the key and the secret to that?
You know, first of all, we listened. We were given mentorship by the greatest icons of our industry. When you stop and think that someone like Alina Horn or Sammy Davis Jr. Would take the time to sit us down and say, hey, listen, this is how I did it. Now, I'm saying that's the way you got to do it, but take heed to the pitfalls that I could have fallen into and stayed, but I knew how to climb out of. You don't have to go into that pit hole. Right. I'm going to give you the formula for that, okay? You got to stop and listen. And I can't tell you, I mean, when I have at my access, Lena Horne, Diane Carroll, Ella Fitzgerald, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, I have those kinds of people at my access. You think I'm not going to use it? Hey, listen, I'm doing so-and-so, and yeah, and, you know, and they give me they feel I need for that particular so-and-so-and-so.
Right. Well, girl, whatever they gave you, it's working still. It is lasting forever. And I'm absolutely loving it. I remember, I think it was, I don't know. I've stopped counting the years, but I remember coming out here. I'm here. But I remember you were here and you did a Christmas album. It was your first Christmas album. I think you recorded part of it here in LA. Yeah. And we were all there and listening. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's your first Christmas album. And of course, we bring it out every year and play it again. And this is a radio network, so we do hear a lot of you. So.
Well, I have a new one now. You know that.
Right, that's what I was bringing all this up for, because you have a new one.
Yeah, The Voices of Christmas. And I can't tell you how, first of all, thrilling it was to do this. It's a CD full of duets.
Oh.
Magnificent duets. And it's so diverse. I mean, we touched upon almost every genre of music. We touched jazz, we touched country, we touched pop, we touched blues, we touched every area of music. Working with people like Johnny Mathis, hello, a young man that I had not met before, you know, and all of a sudden here he is in my life, music soul child.
Oh, love him.
You know, it's a talented kid. Chloe and Hallie.
Oh!
Yeah, you know, at the Oak Ridge Boys. Come on.
Oh,
I had the best time doing this CD, I cannot tell you. It was a joy.
Wow. Is this out now, or is it going to be?
It's
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's called The Joy of Christmas?
No, The Voices.
The Voices of Christmas.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is a must get. I'm going to have to go download that one today because I'm telling you, I've been living in Christmas. Here it is. It's going to be Christmas in a minute.
Again,
so
that's right.
Lining all my stuff up now. So this one I've got to go. Okay, The Voices of Christmas. We can't wait for that one. So you're good until at least January, because you're going to get us through the holiday, and then you got to come up with something different.
I know.
Something new.
Doing that soon.
I'm just kidding you. But back to what we were talking about, the national remembrance of 200,000 Americans to die from COVID. Mm-hmm. Dion, you're unstoppable. You are, like I said, a national treasure. And so we are going, when can we start seeing these 20,000 seats representing the people who died? When will that exhibition be set up? And you're actually hosting this.
How about day after tomorrow?
Okay. Well, there you go.
October. In Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And it'll be covered, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. The media will certainly, in fact, they asked to be a part of this, which I think is wonderful. You know, to get this word out, to let people know that we care and we want things to happen to stop this thing called COVID-19.
Yeah.
And we don't want to call it COVID-20. We don't.
No, we really don't.
Or 21, please, you know, but that's the way it looks like it's going to head. And that's something we can't have happen, you know. And, you know, we've got to get... we've got to get this good information that we're being given out into people's ears and eyes and hearts, you know, to start doing what they're supposed to do.
Let me just ask you one thing. Since you and Dr. Fauci are really good friends, and I know you speak with him regularly, what is his guesstimation? And I say guesstimation, even though he's a scientist, but what is his guesstimation on when we might really have a virus that works? Vaccine.
He won't say because he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know like anybody else doesn't know. And nobody will know until they found something that they've tested properly and they feel is working properly. And nobody's gonna, Tony's smart enough not to say anything about, oh, it'll be next year. No, he won't say that because he does not know. Mm-hmm. Nobody really does until that vaccine shows it's working. that's when the announcement will be made, I'm certain. And they're going to do multiple tests before anybody ever gets stuck in the arm with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I haven't talked to a single person, black or white, that said that they were going to take it. So, just saying.
I think, you know, once the testing is done, because they have people who will volunteer, which is, I guess, a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
And especially if they're downridden with the disease itself and have been told this possibly could be of service to them, then, you know, they take the chance to do it. You know tests that I've been done on anything medical for many, many years.
Right.
And you never know until a test proves to work. So I think once that happens and they're finding that it does work, I think people who say, well, I'm not going to take it, might just change their minds.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, especially if people keep getting this and they can't get rid of it. I know we've kept you on the line here for a while. I so miss you and enjoy talking to you. But just in parting today, you know, what advice would you give to all Americans? I mean, we didn't even touch on the whole thing of the social injustice and all the other stuff that's been going on this year. And you've been at such the forefront of all of this for a good long time. What would you say to Americans right now about coming together? And is that even possible in your mind?
Yeah. Now, you know what? I'll tell you something. I never preached to anybody. You know, I didn't think that's my place to do. I will impart a little bit of the educated values that I've learned over the years from those that I felt had the ability to give me the correct information to bring. I mean, I can remember traveling the entire world and visiting with health officials in different countries where they were getting some results from medications dealing with AIDS. I would bring that back to the United States. And there were doctors here who were willing to test patients who were losing their lives to AIDS as well. And some of it was working for some, and you know, then there were those that didn't respond to it. Mm-hmm. I just feel that if we all decide that we are human beings, okay, and we see, you know, it's, I'm a firm believer in my God and my Bible, and I believe in everything that my grandfather, who was a minister, taught me. And his words to me, my sister Dee Dee, my brother Pookie, at very tender ages, he told us then, he said, listen, I want you to always remember, God put us all on this earth to be of service to each other.
Mm.
And I think that would be something I would like to leave with people. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, can I help you? And meaning it. And then doing it. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, you have practiced what you preach for so very long, and that's why you're still here, still looking good, and still singing. I can't. I'm telling you, when we get off, I'm going to go download that Christmas album and listen to some good music today. And good music, by the way, you know that there is that's no joke, because good music will heal you.
Yes, it will.
It will heal you.
Dionne
Warwick, you have healed us over, you know, the last couple of decades or so. So we thank you for that.
You're very kind.
Always good to see you, my friend.
You too.
Stay well. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for all you're doing to recognize the people we've lost here in the United States and all over the world. But right now, we're just going to deal with our country. Our country, that's what we need to focus on right now. So thank you. I'm sending kisses and big hugs to you.
Back to you, darling. Same thing. Miss and you a lot. Hope to see you and give you a real big hug myself.
Yeah. Loving it so much. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for joining us today on Hollywood Live.
Hollywood Live Extra, a product of American Urban Radio Networks.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.